News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR.
Gerry Adams said that he has never held any role or rank within the IRA. This is part of his evidence in a civil trial in London. That civil trial seeking to establish that he was a member of the IRA and being taken on the part of people who were hurt in various different IRA bombings and attacks. Now, they are only seeking £1 in damages, but the principle is an attempt to establish that Gerry Adams was not only within the IRA, but a high-ranking member of the IRA, something that he has always denied. Mark Hennessy is with us. He's Ireland and Britain editor of the Irish Times. And last week, Mark was telling us about the trial progress up to that point, but it was still Hamlet without the prince. We had Gerry Adams then give his evidence. Mark, what were the high points of what he had to say?
Well, firstly, today he's back in the box this morning, and today should see the end of that evidence, possibly after lunchtime. Now, he had a long day yesterday, and he was saying from the off, repeatedly rejecting charges that he was an IRA volunteer. And when he entered the box yesterday, he wished the judge a very happy St. Patrick's Day, I think, rather to the surprise of the judge. And during the hours that followed, there was some fairly testy exchanges between Adams and Max Hill, who is the King's Counsel for the claimants, and he's a former director of the British Public Prosecution's Office, and was brought in specifically to lead the questioning against Adams. And it was clear throughout, really, that Gerry Adams was riling him, and quite successfully on a few occasions, it has to be said, because he certainly threw Hill's line of questioning a few times. The whole principle behind the claimant's case is that the body of evidence going back over decades is such that no reasonable person could believe that Gerry Adams was not a member of the IRA. And by contrast, the leading principle of the defence is that if the intelligence and all of the information that the security services had over those decades was so good, then why was Gerry Adams never successfully charged and prosecuted for IRA membership, or indeed for the later bombings that he's now being blamed for? And that's going to continue this morning, presumably, we think, with a greater focus on the intelligence that was referred to last week by a number of the witnesses who gave evidence and teasing that out. But it's very clear throughout that Adams is, who looked somewhat frail on one or two occasions in the witness box, but nevertheless, he's not engaging with the questioning in the way clearly that Hill is like. He's been quite dismissive on more than a few occasions. And he has certainly scored a few points against Hill in terms of the court theatrics, where he's talked about the way in which Hill has talked about the mainland and other phrases like that. And Adams is making the point that the mainland for me is the island of Ireland.
Now, one assumes, Mark, that this is an area where Gerry Adams has dealt with these allegations and accusations so much over the last three or four decades that he has become practiced and calloused from being prodded about it. He must be very accomplished at this stage in dealing with these kind of allegations.
He is, and by the nature of this case, it's a civil case. So all of the because it's a civil case, the claimants have to pass the balance of probabilities test rather than beyond reasonable doubt, which is the case in civil or in criminal cases. So that they have a lower threshold to meet, but equally they have a lower evidential base to bring in, because they're not able to bring in serving police officers or security services people or soldiers or whatever who can bring in the forensic files and the intelligence files that they had that morning on their desk. What they're bringing in are witnesses who said that they served in senior positions in Northern Ireland in police, intelligence and the army, and that they saw those documents then. But in some cases, that is a memory of 30 years ago. So that is clearly not helpful to their case. And the judge is going to, this will be a reserve judgment when it finishes. So we're probably going to have to wait for one or two 2 months before we get the final ruling from Mr. Justice Jonathan Swift. There's no jury in this case. It's judge only. And he's going to have to tease through decades of history. And I mean, if you just even look at the number of binders here, the actual paper generation in this case runs to hundreds of thousands of pages. And you're dealing with a whole generation of lawyers and judges here who are post-Troubles. So there are times when they're going to have to go back and tease out details of certain things that perhaps for anorexics like us who've been following this thing over decades, that, you know, you're slightly puzzled why people would have to check this stuff. But nevertheless, you know, you're dealing with different people, different generation, and these things have faded into history in some ways.
And of course, given what you're saying, it sounds like it is a long exercise in he said, she said. There isn't going to be any unexpected, or thus far there hasn't been, any tangible evidence that says, here's a, to coin the phrase, smoking gun.
No, and that's the point. And to be fair to the claimant side, they did make that clear pretty much in the interviews that were done in advance, that there wasn't that new smoking gun that was going to come forward. But if you look at people like the former BBC and ITV journalist John Ware, who's did a succession of programmes over many decades in Northern Ireland, and one of the British reporters who spent more time there than anybody else and developed a very large understanding of it, he made the point that in the interview that he, the documentary he did for World in Action in 1983, that senior provisional people spoke to him in the making of that documentary. And the reason why they did so was because of their anger back then at the way in which Adams was denying his membership of the IRA. And that, they said, put a distance between them and between Adams and the IRA, and an effort on his part to put himself on a higher moral plane to those who were going out every day to be involved in actions with the British Army. So that is as close to kind of firsthand as you get. And then you have people like Richard Kemp and others, former colonel in the British Army, who served in senior positions, and Ian Lyles, who ended up as a brigadier general. These were people who were in senior intelligence roles. And they're saying, we saw again and again and again, one intelligence file after another that was putting Gerry Adams in the IRA and involved in the commissioning of X, Y and Z actions.
Although I assume there are those who would have been within the IRA who would say there was a point where when you signed up, one of the things you signed up to do was always deny your membership publicly, and therefore there is honour in doing that.
Indeed. I mean, it's one thing when you were preparing some material in advance of this case, and you trace back to how long it goes back where Gerry Adams was denying it. And certainly the earliest evidence I've seen is going back to the very early 80s, where even from that point, he was denying it. Normally, the rule was that when Rory O'Brodick was president of Sinn Féin before the split, that he just simply refused to answer the question and just said, we don't talk about stuff like that. End of conversation. So he never admitted, but he never denied, whereas Adams operated differently and has denied and consistently denied all the way through. Now, if he had said back in 1983 when he was asked for the World in Action programme and he admitted to membership, that would have led to a criminal prosecution because IRA membership was illegal. But he could have done the Rory O'Brodick line and simply denied it. But he didn't because, he would say because he wasn't a member, but others would say he didn't. He denied it because he wanted to create a political space for himself to be able to take the IRA and Sinn Féin in the direction that he subsequently did over four decades.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens in court today. Mark, thank you very much for that analysis. Mark Hennessy, Irish Times, Ireland and Britain editor.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.